You're listening to KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. So glad to have you with us today. You know, if there's one thing the internet has plenty of, it is arguments. People passionately debating in long threads about politics, economics, science. You might be arguing right now over Facebook or Twitter while you're listening. But how much do you actually know about almost anything? Probably not as much as you think, says cognitive scientist Philip Fernback, co-author of the new book, The Knowledge Illusion. Fernback says, we think we know more than we do, from economic theory to the way a toilet works. And there's a name for this phenomenon, the illusion of explanatory depth.
We tend to see the world as much more simple than it actually is. We overestimate how well we understand things. And initially, this was studied with things like zippers and can openers and stuff like that. And I got interested in this because I think it's such a pervasive and important phenomenon that really drives so much of our behavior and our decisions.
What about zippers and can openers?
Take almost anything you can think of and try to explain it. And what you'll find is that you don't know quite as much as you initially might have thought that you did. So we use the example in the book of a toilet. If you ask people whether they know how a toilet works, most people will say, yeah, I kind of know how it works. I have a pretty good sense of that. And then if you ask them to explain, they start talking and not much comes out. that's sort of the nature of the way our minds work.
We've all lived full lives where surely we've had plenty of time to realize how little we know. Why would we not know what we know?
The real problem is that we tend not to know what we don't know. So we focus a lot on what we do know. And the world is really complex. Even things that seem simple have layers of complexity to them. And so we cope with all of that complexity by kind of forgetting how complicated things are. Young kids realize this. If you've got young kids at home, they're always asking why. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you usually reach the point at which you say because you can't go down another level because you can't really explain at a deeper level. But as adults, we cope with all of that complexity by forgetting about how complex things are.
We spend so much time trying to be right. But you're saying we're not really built to be that right, not as individuals. We're just not supposed to know that much.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the main ideas that we talk about throughout the book is the way that the mind is really designed to work with other minds. What we are really good at as human beings is collaborating with one another to achieve complex goals. So no other animals can even come close to doing anything remotely like what humans can when it comes to collaborating with others and specializing and sharing knowledge and all that kind of stuff. That's really what the mind is made to do. It's not to store all of the details in one mind. That's just not practical. There's just too much to know.
So zippers and can openers, yeah, I don't really understand how they work, but to put it into the political realm, which we're all arguing about so much, I don't have to understand how the deportation process works to have an okay opinion on immigration, do I?
Almost any political issue is sufficiently complex that no one individual can master all the details. And yet we still have to have beliefs and positions about things. What we lament in the book is the extent of the extremity and the polarization that sometimes occurs because people fail to realize that they don't understand things deeply. So I think we would not argue that nobody should have an opinion without knowing everything about an issue. But we should be a little more humble about the extent to which we understand things before expressing really strong opinions.
If when we talk politics, we were more aware of how little we knew, how would that be a better world?
So many issues that there are issues where the two sides have sort of incontrovertible differences in their values. But there's plenty of issues that we argue about all the time where both sides kind of want to accomplish the same goals. And we might disagree on exactly how we get there. But the fact that we tend to absorb the world in such a simplistic manner a lot of the time might lead us to assume that the differences are more stark between the two sides. A lot of policy issues are quite complex in terms of what the inputs and outputs are and how the inputs lead to the outputs and so on. And so it's very easy to say the other side is wrong, the other side is stupid, the other side is evil. But if we sit down and actually talk through the mechanics of stuff and realize that we don't have all of the details, we might come to realize that actually we're not so far apart.
Does your understanding as a cognitive scientist help us deal with claims that we don't know how to evaluate? I'm thinking of President Trump saying that millions of undocumented immigrants swayed the election vote by voting illegally. And I'm thinking about vaccines cause autism. There are all kinds of claims out there that we don't really know what to do with, but some of us feel like we know.
We have to be able to investigate these kind of things and rely on experts and have good sources of expertise that we can trust. You and I individually are not equipped to figure out whether there's actual voter fraud, but what we can do is go to credible sources. The challenge is that on the different sides, people draw on different sources, and there's been sort of a diffusion in terms of credibility and who we go to for the right kind of information. And so if you don't trust the credible sources, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. And by virtue of some of us believing it, other people in our community will tend to believe it. So it's almost like a house of cards that can develop.
Okay, so let's say you are arguing with someone who you think might not know much. What's the most constructive way to get through to them, to build something?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one thing is, the first thing you don't want to do is make somebody else feel stupid, because then they get defensive. And I think a lot of times when we're arguing with somebody who has a different perspective than us, that is sort of our first instinct as human beings, unfortunately. And defensiveness and negativity sort of breed defensiveness and negativity. So you need to find a way to sort of productively come together and discuss the mechanics. Do the two of us understand how this policy might be implemented or how it might work in order to actually justify the things that we're arguing about? If not, maybe we can both go off and do some research and come to a deeper understanding. In my experience, that kind of mechanistic or mechanical discussion about the way things work is more effective at fostering productive debate than is the typical, I'm right, you're wrong kind of disputes.
I like that. Put the two of us on the same side, which is the, man, how do we figure this out together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great way of thinking about it. On the same side, both in pursuit of the truth. We tend to think in terms of caricatures. And when you actually sit down and talk to somebody, you not always. There are people out there who are a little bit on the extremes, but typically you'll find that the caricature is not that accurate.
What has your research done to your own ideas about how much knowledge you have? How do you go through life differently because of what you've learned?
This is probably the project I've worked on in my career that's had the most sort of personal impact on me. And I catch myself all the time wanting to pop off about something that I don't understand in detail. And I've slowed that down, you know. I do sort of reflect more on where my attitudes and my positions are coming from. And I think it's led me to be a little bit more humble in the way that I go about interacting with the world. I will say that, you know, we focus quite a bit on the book about some of the problems and overconfidence that this can lead to. But there's also some virtue in being overconfident when it comes to your understanding. A lot of us wouldn't get much accomplished unless we sort of jumped into stuff that we weren't equipped to jump into. And we usually find a way through it. So the kind of effects that I'm talking about are not all bad, for sure.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you, why do I so want to pop off, even though I don't know what I'm talking about? And that's adaptive in some way, or it's helpful?
Yeah, I think so. I think it can certainly be adaptive. There's actually another book by a couple of cognitive scientists talking about what the purpose of thinking is for, what reason is for, and they argue that it's not really to arrive at the truth. It's to be able to argue and to advocate for our positions. That's sort of an evolutionary argument that I think has some truth to it.
And Philip, how does a toilet work?
That's a great question. Check out my book, Chapter 1. It's right there for you.
And that book that will tell you how a toilet works and why you probably don't actually know is called The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone. Our guest, Philip Fernback, is the co-author. And if you really want to go deep on why we all assume we know more than we actually do, Professor Fernback mentioned another book by two social scientists. That is called The Enigma of Reason. And we're tweeting out a link to pieces about both of those books. Right now, we are at KUOW.